A lot of people want the President of the United States to save us from our enemies, from the economy, and other really big things. So we're trying to figure out, what kind of power does the President really have? To answer that question, we sat down with George Edwards, distinguished professor of political science and a leading scholar on the presidency.
The president has much less power than people think. And they have much less power than you would think from what you hear candidates promise on the campaign trail. And I don't mean that the promises aren't sincere, because almost always they are. But presidents, once they take office, run into some pretty hard realities. And the first reality is that they rarely can act unilaterally. They share power primarily with Congress. And Congress, often in modern American politics, is populated with the opposition, as it is right now. And so presidents come in and think that after 2 years of campaigning, they must be pretty persuasive fellows. After all, they won the big prize in politics, and they've been basically doing nothing but talking for 2 years. But that's a bit different, because you are simply drawing a comparison with another candidate. And that's different than convincing people to support a particular piece of policy. And it's almost always the case that the public doesn't move in the president's direction, or it actually moves a little bit in the opposite direction. So presidents generally fail in their efforts to move the public, and therefore they don't have the kind of leverage that they want in moving Congress.
So if we can't expect a president to just fly in and save the day, how do we get anything done in this country?
The founding fathers, they knew what they were doing. They divided power. They decentralized power. They specifically designed an inefficient system. And that forces deliberation, and it forces compromising. So if there's no people in the middle, if there's no people with whom you can cut a deal, and if compromise becomes a dirty word and you're viewed as a traitor to your party, then there's very little chance of doing something. I'll give you an example. Senator Lindsey Graham, a very smart guy and a longtime clear conservative. And he found that just by talking to the White House and trying to work out issues on climate change and on immigration, that he was condemned by his own party. That's just an example of the kinds of problems that you face when everyone must feel that the opposition party are untrustworthy, and therefore you can't compromise with them. So to bring about change, you have to compromise. That's a good thing in my mind. And voters have to support candidates who are willing to compromise. You have to be willing to give up something. You can't argue that I should get everything I want and the other side can have nothing that they want. And you've got to support candidates who are willing to talk to the other side sincerely and to compromise. And I don't know any other way to actually deal with the kinds of problems that we face.
All right. Thanks for chatting with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is John from Epifio. Thanks for watching this week. If you're new around here, I recommend you subscribe. We've got new content coming out every week. Here's some top comments from last week's video. Hamburgex says, and he's right, that's a lot of videos. Thanks, man. Also, Remington McHeleny recommends that we do a video about driving without looking. And that sounds dangerous. We're not going to do that. We'd love to hear your comments about this week's video. How much power does the president really have? We'd love to hear your thoughts. See you next week. Okay, this is gonna be the one right here.